Let's go fishing. That's right. You're tuning into the Let's Go Fishing radio show here every Thursday, 7:06 to 8 p.m. KSCO, 1080 KOMY, 1340. Also archived at Ship to Shore Radio and sportfishingreport.com. Thanks to the guys at both fantastic fishing internet sites for hosting the show there. So if you want to re-listen to it during the week anytime, go ahead and listen there. Also stream live at ksco.com. Of course, that's www.ksco.com. So thanks to everybody here running the board tonight. A big thanks to Dave Michaels filling in for our pal Chris Spencer, who's, I think, Alan, I think he's at Clear Lake, isn't he?
I believe so. He's been talking about it for a month at least. He's up there sunning and fishing and just relaxing and getting a well-deserved reward.
I hope Clear Lake is clear. Again, you're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show. Your host, Mike Baxter, and Alan Bushnell. Alan, did we set Chris up with any fishing rods or tackle, or were we like the typical fishermen and talked about everything we were going to do for him and not do anything?
I think the latter, Mike. Okay, yeah, well, I think so.
Anyway, you are tuned into a great show tonight. A lot of information, entertainment. We really try to emphasize on the geography along the West Coast here and talk to our usual characters up and down the coast as they give us fishing reports. We're also going to get political. Kind of the theme this year is as sportsmen, sportswomen, and people alike that do care about fishing as well as our resources in our community, especially in the ocean, lakes, and rivers, we're trying to be more proactive. So we have a special guest tonight that's going to talk to us in regards to the recreational. He's from the Recreational Fishing Alliance, but what there is a meeting in regards to the MLPA, and we've been covering this topic here the last few weeks. So that's going to be one of our guest speakers. Who else do we have on the agenda tonight, Alan?
Well, we're going to get the local, Mike. I think the biggest news, and I know everyone's kind of on the edge of their seat, is the albacore. We do have some albacore fishing here in Santa Cruz, and a number of the boats went out this weekend and scored before the winds came up. One of the skippers who was lucky enough or smart enough to get out there at the right time is Jerry Brooks, and he's going to give us a report on the albacore and some of the inshore fishing as well, and we'll be hearing him from him just a little bit later in the hour.
Fantastic. I know we're going to check in with Steve Carson, who had a Penn Fishing University trip down to the East Cape, and we'll find out how they did. They went to Hotel Spa Buena Vista there on the East Cape, close to Cabo San Lucas. We'll find out how fishing was down there. Alan and myself will hope to fill in the gaps. I mean, I've gotten emails this week. Albacore, like Alan said, the theme of the show this year really is trying to cover political topics as well as entertainment. And we're sticking to the coast with the inland heat. The lakes are kicking out trout and some kokanee. But a lot of that emphasis and excitement right now is on the West Coast, where last week's theme really was based around the rock fishing and lingcod along the shallow reefs while the winds were strong. However, between now and then, and the winds actually dropped. A little low pressure moved through, and that's right, it was calm offshore, which brought that blue water in a little closer. There was albacore caught out of Santa Cruz as close as, I believe, 24 miles. That's right, that 1,000-fathom canyon right there at the weather buoys kicked out a few albacore. So longfin tuna are going to be the topic tonight. We've got reports from southern Oregon. I've had emails from there as well as Fort Bragg. People reporting up to 15 fish a boat at the Viscano Canyon out of Fort Bragg, about 25 to 30 miles offshore there, 61-degree blue water. So like Alan mentioned, we're going to talk a lot about albacore. If you're planning a trip, what's the weather doing? I'll tell you, the high pressure is building. So strong northwest winds, 15 to 25 knots. Now, of course, in the Monterey Bay and the San Francisco Bay waters, it won't get as rough, and the winds generally won't be as strong. However, that offshore forecast is prone to pick up here, 15 to 25 knots as this high pressure builds. However, Sunday, Monday, yes, sir, it looks like a little low pressure is starting to build, so a southerly flow. It looks like Sunday afternoon, Monday really looks like a great window. So if you get that tuna fever, Monday, call in sick, get your boat ready, and get out there for some albacore. That looks like kind of the hot pick. Now, if in the meantime you want to get your fishing in, I'll tell you, coastal rockfish is still a great pick, and there was a few salmon caught up the coast and even right here locally. Is that right, Alan?
Yeah, that's right. The SoCal Hull, we had at least one boat report into Ed Burrell at Capitola Boat and Bait with five fish, and a pretty nice size. I didn't get the exact numbers on them, but it sounded like they were real nice fish.
All right.
And that was on Sunday, I believe, Mike.
Well, we'll talk more about that. We'll be right back after the first break with tons of fishing information for you and entertainment. Don't touch the dial. We'll be right back.
After 25 years of excellent customer service in our community, Dave Dawson is now working as a realtor with Bailey Properties. Dave's success is a combination of his local knowledge and his ability to produce results and please his clients. If you or anyone you know is considering buying or selling any real estate, you need to call Dave Dawson at 901-2856. That's Dave Dawson at Bailey Properties, 901-2856. You know, hiring a contractor to do your home improvement is like fishing. Sometimes, well, most of the time, you never know what you're going to get. When it comes to your roof, Warren Knox at Knox Roofing wants you know what you're going to get, and that's a roof worth keeping. Knox Roofing takes pride in their work, and that's why they're the most chosen roofing contractor in the area. Give Knox Roofing a call in Santa Cruz, 461-0634. In Monterey, 831-394-0110, or check them out at knoxroofing.com. Bayside Marine, a complete tackle store. Up-to-the-minute reports from local fishermen. The finest tackle from sport to commercial gear. CalStar, Shimano, Lamaglass, Penn, from long-range Mexico gear to the hottest salmon gear of the Northwest. Bayside Marine has it all. Call the hotline at 464-3474. Remember, we're on the web at BaysideMarineSC.com or call the shop at 475-2173. Stop by on your way to the boat ramp, pick up your ice, food, beer, bait, and tackle. Then say hi to Todd and get the latest scoop. Remember, we're Bayside Marine. Give us a call at 475-2173. A part of our community, a part of culture, the Santa Cruz Harbor, with a brand new launch ramp, a great washdown and fish cleaning facilities. Sport fishermen call this protected port haven. The Santa Cruz Harbor is ideal for all boaters with berthing and end ties. Find rigging, tackle, charters, and great restaurants in the harbor. With full hookups, you can bring your RV and even take a scenic stroll around the harbor. The Santa Cruz Harbor welcomes you.
You may be spending money on insurance right now. Do you know what your auto liability limits are? Is your home covered for full reconstruction costs? Do you know how affordable a renter's policy or life insurance can be when they are packaged with other farmers' policies? If you haven't talked to your agent lately and you would like a friendly consultation with me, Mike Baxter, call 831-588-9577. Farmers' rates are very competitive. For a quote, call Mike Baxter, 831-588-9577, or contact me through the Let's Go Fishing Radio Show website, www.theletsgofishingradioshow.com. Mike Baxter, 831-588-9577.
You know how to put money into your IRA, but do you know how to take it out? Do you know the smartest way to withdraw money at 55 or even 45? And how will the new rules affect your required minimum distributions? To see how Smith Barney can help you navigate the complicated tax laws regarding IRAs, call Pete Middlecoff, financial consultant, at 479-5100. That's 479-5100 for Pete Middlecoff. Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated, member SIPC. Smith Barney is a division of Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated and does not provide tax advice. Consult your tax advisor for guidance.
Let's go fishing. Welcome aboard. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Go Fishing Show every week, Thursdays, 7:06 to 8 p.m. here on KSCO 1080. Proud to be here. And even more proud to have the sponsors. I'll tell you, couldn't pick a finer bunch of sponsors. Dave Dawson at Bailey Properties. Or if you or anyone you know are interested in real estate, it's a great time for a buyer right now. Give Dave Dawson a call. Knox Roofing. I know I'm getting some roof done on one of my homes now. It's the time of year, so give Warren Knox a call at Knox Roofing. Don't wait till that rain starts. Bayside Marine, I'll tell you, if you're getting ready for salmon fishing out of albacore fishing out of Santa Cruz, give Todd a call at Bayside Marine or go to his internet site. And the Santa Cruz Harbor, of course, is a great place to run out of. A lot of amenities right here in the Santa Cruz Harbor. Pete Middlecoff at Smith & Barney Financial Solutions, give him a call, 41st Avenue. Pete Middlecoff can help you out with all types of accounts and your financial needs. And yours truly, Mike Baxter, now with Farmers Insurance. So I do autos, homes, you name it. I'd love to meet with you. Give me a call. Hope you're getting ready to go fishing, and you're tuned into the right show if you are. So we're talking a lot this week about albacore. Albacore fishing's been real good. I mentioned I had reports from Southern Oregon. Guys were running out 25 miles, and they had up to about 15 fish a boat. The theme had been with that large moon last week. It sounded like a morning bite. Everyone talked about real good fishing in the morning, both troll fish, and when the weather was calm, those fish were even coming right to the boat. So look for those water breaks. Run with a fishing partner. Make sure your boat's set up right. If you have spare fuel on board, make sure that's stowed away correctly. It's always good to have some backup equipment, a handheld VHF as well as a handheld GPS. A flotation bag is always a good idea, or a ditch bag. And run with a running partner. You know, you might be paying for vessel assist, but that doesn't mean, you know, or boat US for towing, but it doesn't mean that you're safe and secure. So always have a backup plan. It's always good just to kind of know, in case this happens, this is what I'm going to do. So a great show lined up. I hope you've got some fishing plans, and we've got some great callers lined up. I think our first caller, Alan, we've got Jim Martin lined up. Is that right?
Yeah, Jim Martin from the Recreational Fishing Alliance is kind enough to give us a call and share with us some important news about the process. The RFA is really kind of taking the point on this fight to protect our fishing rights and our fishing grounds, and Jim Martin is leading the way. Are you with us here, Jim?
Yes, I am. Thanks, Alan.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you very much, and it was really great to get a call from you to remind me about the meeting that's coming up very soon locally here. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that meeting, Jim?
Yeah, it's probably the most important meeting on the Marine Life Protection Act, or the MLPA. Anybody who fishes in Monterey or Santa Cruz is going to be affected by this. I hope people don't go out there next year or whatever, and they're fishing and they get written a ticket because they're in a closed area, and they ask, well, you know, I've been fishing here all my life, and when did this happen? It's happening now, August 15th in Monterey at the Beach House Resort. The Fish and Game Commission is holding a special hearing on the MLPA and about area closures in your neck of the woods.
Right. So there are going to be area closures. That's a foregone conclusion. They have three different plans, and the Department of Fish and Game is trying to make up their minds on which plan they're going to adopt.
That's correct. And the RFA and all the fishing organizations are supporting package number one, which was developed by our representatives on the Blue Ribbon Task Force process, the regional stakeholder groups, folks like Howard Egan and Eric Endersby, Dave Edlund, fishermen and divers that have a lot of experience in that area. And they've come up with a proposal that meets the scientific guidelines, all the conservation goals, but it maximizes fishing opportunity for all of us. So we really want to support that, and people show up at that meeting on August 15th at the Beach House Resort, at the Beach Resort Hotel. And it's at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it'll probably go until 10 o'clock at night, like the last one did in Sacramento.
Okay, and that the address there is 2600 Dunes Drive, like sand dunes, 2600 Dunes Drive in Monterey. It's important to show up, even if you're not making public comment, just to give support and be part of the crowd saying we're the anglers that support this plan rather than some of the other plans that have been forwarded.
That's right. The fisherman's alternative is package number one.
Package number one, right. And there still is enough time for anglers or interested parties to apply to make a public comment. They have to get their application in with 2 days before the meeting. Is that correct, Jim?
No, that's not correct. No, you can show up at the meeting and fill out a speaker card, and everybody gets about 2 minutes, which isn't very long, so you have to keep your comments concise. The department will be explaining its alternative, and the public will have an opportunity to comment on those things. And if you don't like what they're closing, you can say that and why, how it'll affect you and your businesses and the local economy.
Right.
And basically, the maps will all be there if people need more information about the MLPA. It's all at the DFG's website at www.dfg.ca.gov.
Okay, that's great, Jim. Thanks so much, and we hope to see you down there in Monterey, and we hope to see anyone listening down there. And before you sign off, Jim, can you give us your website for the RFA discussion board website, please?
Yeah, sure. If people want more reports and information about this from the RFA's perspective, go to fishpolitics.com.
Fishpolitic.com, and I'm going to put a link to that website up on the Let's Go Fishing Radio Show.
Oh, thanks a lot, Alan. Thanks. That's great. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for the call, and hopefully we'll see you Monday, okay?
All right, will do.
Okay, good night now.
Jim, bye-bye. Thanks a lot. Thanks for all your work. Appreciate the update.
Thank you guys for keeping the word out there.
Okay, and you know, Alan, as much as I would like to talk, we've got a couple of great callers. I'm really looking forward to checking in with Jerry Brooks right here in Santa Cruz aboard a six-pack boat. Real sport fishing, the boat named the Doble. He's been out there looking for albacore and rockfish. I want to find out what he's been up to. And our pal, regular caller and sometimes guest, Ken Kaysen, is going to fill us in on what the inland lakes have been doing as far as kokanee fishing. So some great callers lined up here. Let's check in with Jerry Brooks. Jerry, how are you doing tonight?
No, pretty good, Mike. How are you?
Doing good. I got to admit, I still got that fishing bug in me. The warm water gets close. rumors of albacore, and I get that weird look in my eye. So how's it been going? Have you been getting out there? And kind of what do you expect to see for albacore, at least in the outside Monterey Bay waters?
Well, I think things are picking up pretty steady. We were out last Sunday. We only put about a half a dozen fish on the boat. But we had numerous chances. We had them up to the boat a few times, boiling around on bait. But due to some massive tangles on our bait rods, we lost quite a few fish, too. But the warm waters are starting to push off. Off a big surge now, there's a real nice, beautiful warm surge starting to push up. So we're expecting a lot more to happen here.
Yeah, it's really starting to take shape, huh? I mean, it sounds like there's a good body of fish there at the guide if the weather's calm enough. And I was amazed to hear that small finger of water that pushed in towards the weather buoys in the Monterey Canyon, more like 30, 35 miles out, was holding a decent shot of fish. I heard rumors, Sherry, of a lot of these inshore albacore that were a little closer, say 30, 35 miles, were in green water. Did you notice that?
Yeah, that's exactly. It was just slightly off color, you know, a little bit of blue in it, but mostly green. But there was some fish in it. We had to move around a little bit, and like you said earlier, it was pretty much a morning bite.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys that got out there early got hooked up fast, and you know, by the time 10, 11 o'clock showed up, it was pretty much shut down.
Make hay while you can. Now, the moon's getting smaller. The wind is actually picking up. However, by Sunday, Monday, it looks like it's going to subside. Now, do you have some plans to get back out there?
Oh, yeah. We got a trip planned on Sunday that we got a full boat on. And that's the first day the weather's supposed to start getting pretty good again.
Okay.
So there's been some guys that wanted to go out this week, but it's been blowing 15, 25 out there, so that really makes it tough.
I think, too, what's important, like you mentioned, is there's a real close push of water a little closer to the beach, and it's a good solid body of warm water coming up from the Sur Canyon and Morro Bay area. And I have had word of albacore in that area, too, so that new push of warm water as we look down towards the Monterey Canyon, I'm sorry, the Sur Canyon and possibly the Dog Bone, there should be a new group of fish in that water and possibly a little closer to home.
Yeah, all the way up to the Dog Bone, it's pretty good-looking water right now, 64, 65-degree stuff. And like I say, down off of Sur Canyon there, it's pushing almost into the beach. So I'm hoping it's not just warm water running along the coastline and that some of us shove it in from outside.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you're going to find that out. It sounds like Sunday.
Yeah, sir.
Fantastic. So do you have any openings this weekend or next weekend?
You know, I'm booked pretty much all the way through the weekend. Monday, I think I have an opening. So if anybody's looking to go out on Monday, give me a call.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to be some good weather that time, too. So let's plug the boat and go get some tuna.
Yeah, Les, I know I've been giving out your number and Captain Jimmy's there on the Becky Ann. I was surprised I put up a little ad on Todd's site on Bayside, and I got more calls for tuna fishing than I did for insurance, but that's okay. It was good to hear from a lot of friends, but I was sending them towards Stagnero. I think might be getting a boat out, and I was recommending your boat as well as Jimmy's. So give us some contact information. It's that time of the year.
Yeah, we will. You know, it's that getting that time. Everybody's got their fill of pinkfish, and we've been doing quite a few rock cod trips too. So, but you know, my favorite is always tuna. So I'm anxious to get out there and get some of those guys.
All right, give us a phone number, Jimmy. I mean, Jerry. Sorry.
area code 831-465-0639.
All right. Thank you very much. Also, his a link to that is on the Let's Go Fishing Show. You can link to his website and contact Jerry Brooks there. So thanks for calling, Jerry. Good luck to you. Hope to get a report next week.
All right, Mike. You got to get out yourself.
I know. I do.
Okay.
All right. Have a good
thanks,
night.
Jerry.
You too.
Have a great weekend.
See you, Alan. Bye-bye.
And let's keep rolling here. Before we get into the break, I told Ken to give us a call. He was telling me kokanee stories, and God, I love it. I don't get to do that lake fishing much, but it's so calm and quiet and peaceful. I thought, well, maybe, you know, we don't get a lot of inland reports, do we, Alan?
Well, that's right, and kokanee's a real exciting fish to catch, I understand. I've never got one yet myself.
Yeah, well, especially if they're big. I caught them. They were the size of sardines, but he was talking about these fish breaking six-pound lines. So how about it, Ken Kaysen, do you... You got a report for us tonight?
You bet, Mike. You know, sitting here listening to Jerry and the like, it's the only problem with life is there's too many fish and not enough time.
Oh, yeah. You know? God, Ken, this is Alan. You know, I'm thinking the same thing. I'm sitting in the chair going, man, I want to get out there and look way down into that deep blue water and see that fish circling 80 feet. I'm calling for the gaff and the deckhand saying it's still 80 feet down, dude. The water's so clear and beautiful. And
that's just the first time up, so.
Oh, yeah. You know? But meanwhile, how about the Sweetwater?
Well, it was great. You know, we spent a week last week up at Donner Lake. My wife's family gets together, and we get a house there. And starting last year, I went up to Stampede and tried out that kokanee and did okay. I had my jet-powered outboard where I was able to troll down real slow. And this year, I had a new four-stroke outboard, and I didn't do so well, and I think it was mainly my speed. But you're right. That water's so flat, and it's so different than out here. And just a really fun fishery.
So what lake did you spend most of your time on?
I did a few days at Stampede with not a lot of luck, Mike. You know, there were some guys there. They had a tournament on the weekend, so by Friday they were pre-fishing, and just a whole bunch of guys with their real fancy, beautifully rigged boats. They do a lot of Sierra fishing, a lot of those guys. And I did well there, and I fished a couple days back down on Donner and actually found a little spot of fish. It's just like salmon fishing. You're a little dodger and a little bug, and you find them, you stay on them, and depth, and... I did have a couple with the 6-pound leader that just were so wild, they broke me off. So,
what was the typical, how are the guys doing that, you know, the kind of, I hate to use the phrase, but the guys in the know during the Great Aluminum Hatch, you definitely find a lot of aluminum boats in the water and they have a kokanee tournament. But what were they doing? The fish were stratified like at 30 to 40 feet and they were trolling the dodgers with kokanee bugs tipped with scented corn.
Yep.
And were they getting limits, Ken? What were you seeing and what size fish?
I didn't hear anybody really getting limits. You know, a lot of the guys were, you know, 8-9 fish by the time I left it. 11 in the morning, and who knows, the real guys don't talk, I don't think. It's like here, a lot of quiet guys, and they tell you almost enough, and if you know what you're listening to, you can pick up on it. It's fun. I love to go learn new fisheries and try and figure it out. You know, be humbled once in a while. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, and it's just a fun place to go.
Yeah.
Tell me, are they talking on VHF radio there or CBs?
It's VHF, channel 69.
Now, you do a lot of different lakes this time of the year, whether it's smallmouth bass or kokanee or trout. What would be a hot tip for someone in the Central Coast, a good spot to go for some good fun fishing?
Well, I think, you know, close by, Don Pedro seems to be a good bet for kokanee and trout. Seems to, you know, if you got downrigger and get down 60 feet or so. It seems to be the most consistent close by to this, you know, our area. I don't fish much up above Berryessa in those lakes, so I think they do well too.
So Don Pedro, and the key is using a fish finder, look for areas, kind of put your gear at that thermocline and use downriggers.
Yep, find them, fish them. That's kind of the way it goes. And, you know, the kokanee are a blast. They're beautiful little fish.
All right. How about local shallow water rockfish? Have you been out lately?
Oh, just today.
Oh, how was that?
It was great. Donnie and I went out. Got one fish shy of real nice limits, mostly the big red ones.
Okay.
It was great. A little bit bumpy for our little boat, but it was okay.
And you guys just fished the greater West Cliff Drive area of Santa Cruz?
Maybe just below, right at the Wilders between there and 4 Mile.
Yeah, and don't tell me it was foggy, Ken, because it wasn't foggy. You can't do that to me. But the main thing is the swell is down. Now, this weekend there was a lot of nice school fish. The big blues were around. I know people don't try for blues, but when that swell is up, I think like we mentioned last week's show, the school fish were a good size. I took the kids out and had a real good time with them. But it sounds like I talked to Ken Stagnaro today, too. He said the vermilions and the bottom fish were starting to bite a little better with the swell dropping.
He was right around us. We're all in the same area.
He was probably following you, huh?
Not yet. Yeah, he was.
Well, anyway, Ken, I sure appreciate you calling. It's always great to have some local support with the fishing information.
I just love the fish, though. Just about anywhere I get, I try and do what they're doing there.
Yeah, that's the key, huh? If you do go to the fresh water and you're not used to it, or vice versa, if you come out here, check in with the tackle shop, get the inside skinny, and just kind of adapt to conditions.
Well, fishing's more important than the water. It's listening and paying attention and watching the locals, and you know, don't be too obvious and bug them. Just pay attention. You know what to look for. You can find it.
Right on.
So, well,
hey, Ken, thanks for calling. Thanks for the report.
Good talking to you, Mike. Appreciate it. Take care.
You have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
And we're going to go into a quick break here. When we get back, we're going to check in with Senior Tuna himself. He's probably got a nice tan and a lot of tacos inside his system from spending some time in Baja California, East Cape. We're going to find out, did they catch any marlin?
That's a good question, Mike.
How about exotics? Maybe Dorado, maybe sailfish. You never know. So don't touch the dial. We'll be right back with more fishing information.
Put Lake Nacimiento Resort on your list this year for a fun-filled family destination that has something for everyone, including 6 campgrounds.
Ooh, that smells good.
From walk-ins to full RV hookups, visit Lake Nacimiento Resort. If roughing it's not your style, nestle into one of the Lakeview lodges.
Ooh, this place is nice.
And make sure to check the menu at the Lakeshore Cafe. With 165 miles of shoreline, it's easy to find a private spot to fish. The resort marina also has a full line of boat rentals, from fishing skiffs to ski boats, for even more family fun. For reservations and information, call 800-323-3839 extension 2 or check the website at www.nacimientoresort.com.
Feeling stressed? Why not get away from it all? Imagine the beauty of nature, the sounds of silence. Go fishing.
Son, isn't this wonderful? No neighbors, no phones, no TV.
Dad, how many kinds of fish are there?
Hundreds, maybe thousands. I don't know exactly.
Thousands? That's a lot of fish.
Well, let's just see if we can catch one or two today.
Fishing with a family can yield memories that will last a lifetime. With the gear available today, fishing is easy, and Outdoor World has waders and waterproof boots to keep you dry, tackle boxes, fishing vests, and carrying cases to keep your gear handy, reels, and just the right bait to make a difference. At Outdoor World, you'll find everything you need except for the fish. Outdoor World on 41st Avenue in Capitola, on Front Street in Santa Cruz, and on North Fremont Street in Monterey. See our weekly ad in the Good Times and the Monterey County Weekly. Outdoor World, when it's time to get away.
Some say the best way to fish Monterey Bay is a small charter or six-pack boat. One thing's for sure, you can't go wrong booking a trip with Real Sport Fishing with Captain Jimmy Charters. Jerry Brooks and Jim Rubin run fast, roomy boats with top-notch gear and the latest electronics. Whether halibut, salmon, or albacore is your prey, Captain Jimmy and Real Sport Fishing get you there quick and maximize your catch. For a custom fishing trip, call Captain Jimmy at 831-662-3020 or Real Sport Fishing at 831-465-0639.
ICOM Marine products are simply the best. When your safety at sea depends on communication, trust ICOM radios, handhelds, VHFs, and single sidebands. ICOM is the leader of the industry. With a full line of VHF radios equipped with digital selective calling, depend on ICOM. Their products are second to none. Find ICOM radios at Johnson Hicks or any fine dealer near you. Check online at www.icomamerica.com. ICOM, simply the best. Central Valley Marine makes your fun serious. With Grady White boats and Yamaha engines, the customer always comes first at Central Valley Marine. Find perfectly crafted Grady White boats outfitted with four-stroke Yamaha outboards at a business with 30 years of experience. Central Valley Marine. Phone 1-800-974-4286. In Campbell on South Bascom, Central Valley Marine, 800-974-4286.
Let's go fishing. It's the Let's Go Fishing Show, KSTO 1080, KOMY 1340, streamed live at www.ksto.com. Proud to be here, Mike Baxter and Alan Bushnell with the Let's Go Fishing Show. A lot of reports on the West Coast tuna, talking about warm water and tuna. Let's check in with Senior Tuna. That is Steve Carson. He took the Penn Fishing University down to, I'm going to still call it Hotel Spa Buena Vista because that's what I know of it, the East Cape. And I think he met some of our friends there, Anthony Wong, the guys from IWE Sports. And they had a little fishing tournament, a lot of fun. Steve, how'd it go?
Oh, it went great. And there is still a sign up kind of hidden in the bushes that says Spa Buena Vista. But you're totally wrong about one thing.
That's not unusual.
I do not have a tan. I am the SPF 50 poster child.
Yeah, you know what? That's smart. That's why you look younger than you probably are.
But, the fishing was pretty good. We kind of came up right behind the Bisbee, the big money tournament, and thankfully they like to return 97.7% of their fish to the water because they hammered the marlin. They had 172 mixed blue and striped marlin and sailfish just before we were there, and the fish just kept on biting. Our lowest day was five fish hooked, and we had anywhere from two to three billfish landed per day, and could have been more. You never know. We never did hook any of those big blues. And as we were talking earlier, the most exciting thing to me, anyway, I mean, I realized to a lot of people, 150-pound striped marlin would be the catch of a lifetime. But we did manage to encounter probably the rarest game fish on the whole West Coast, the long-bill spearfish.
Mm.
I just about passed out when I saw that thing. I just thought it was another small marlin. I was hardly even paying attention. The captain's got a hold of it by the bill. It's about a 40-pounder. He's getting the hook out, and I look, and I say, "Is that a spearfish?" And the captain kind of looks at it and says, "See?" And I said, "Oh, I think I need some pictures of that." So,
that's pretty monumental. It looks a lot like a sailfish with a very small sail. Is that right?
Yeah, well, they're just small.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look like a small sailfish with a dorsal fin, kind of halfway in between a marlin and a sailfish.
Yeah.
And even the long-billed spearfish has kind of a short bill.
Mm-hmm.
The short-billed spearfish just looks like a pointy-nosed Dorado. Again, just overall, the billfish fishing is probably the best in the world right now down there. And again, it may be a 40-pound spearfish or a 70-pound sailfish or a 400-pound blue that bites your lure because they all bite the same lures. So it's pretty exciting fishing.
We got a report last week from a local couple that was kind enough to share their fishing adventures in the Sea of Cortez. They were a little further north. But there was just a lot of Dorado. Did you guys encounter a lot of Dorado there at the East Cape, or was it mostly billfish?
We didn't encounter a lot. We did encounter a couple. We had a couple nice fish one afternoon, about a 25-pound female and about a 45-pound male. That was pretty exciting. And then there was a little bit of a bite off the spot they call Las Barracas, which is the Army barracks down there, a little below where all the hotels are. And it just so happened that bite was early at the same time as the yo-yo off on the Pargo and the Amberjack. And, you know, I mean, if it's a choice of one or the other, I'm going to go for the yo-yo bite. In particular, of course, remember the last time I was down there, we caught a world record Amberjack, so
yeah.
I was hoping there was one with my name on it.
Yeah,
there.
I bet you were back at the same spot with the
yep.
same lure.
Yep, yep.
I hate to say it, but I have to share with you, I think I did when I spoke to you earlier, that we used to catch an occasional long-billed spearfish in Hawaii. You mentioned they were more common there, and the local legend there was that the long-billed spearfish, some of the Hawaiians I fished with there believed they were crossbreed between a blue marlin and the sailfish, I'm embarrassed to admit. And I'm even more embarrassed to admit that they're actually quite delicious to eat, despite the taste of most other marlin species. Is that bad that I say that?
Well, not if you didn't break any local laws.
No, but, it's legal. And there's more of them there. I think you can explain to us why is there more of those fish there at the Hawaiian Islands? And even there, they're very uncommon, but there's sounds like more incidental catch of them there in Hawaii than there is, especially in the East Cape.
Well, we had a couple of biologists from the Billfish Foundation and NOAA Fisheries were down there with four of the satellite archival tags, the expensive $4,000 jobs. That they were looking specifically to put into sailfish. That's why they were down there. But I did get to talk to them a little bit about our spearfish encounter. And their information was that it's more of an open ocean, oceanic species. They're way out there in the middle, really not near anything generally. That's why if they're near anything, they're near Hawaii. And they're a little too small for the commercials to care about them very much, and they're just not where the sport fishermen are going to encounter them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty rare in terms of where you see them, but their numbers don't appear to be in any kind of danger compared to some other species like broadbill and things like that.
All right. And did you guys have, with the Penn Fishing University, did you have a contest? Was there a big fish contest? I know the week before your trip, we talked about cow-sized tuna. There was a legitimate 300-pound tuna caught there. Did you guys see any large yellowfin tuna in the area?
The tuna were all the way down at the Iman Bank, which was about a two-hour run from where we were, and once again, and then there weren't really any real big ones being caught, except there's always that one. It turned out the winner of the tuna division in the Bisbee tournament was a 132-pounder. But the majority of the tuna being caught were more or less albacore size, and I figured I'd wait till I got home to catch tuna that size.
Yeah.
And so I opted to go for the stuff that was a little closer and not as accessible any other place.
Yeah.
There were lots of 20 and 30-pound tuna caught with about a two-hour run each way.
Okay. Well, there is albacore here. As you know, you and I have been talking about that. And it does sound like Stagneros is going to be sending out of Santa Cruz here the Princess departing. Oh, no. Did I get this wrong? I think Monday night. If not, go ahead, Alan.
I actually think that they took off tonight. The plan was to take off on Thursday night.
Well, I got a call this afternoon from Ken, and the boat is departing. I believe it's Monday night, but we'll give you the phone number for Stagnero fishing trips. The Princess is set up to go, and they are planning a trip, I believe, departing either Sunday night to fish Monday or departing Monday night to fish Tuesday, but I believe it departs Sunday evening to fish Monday, and that's when the weather's calming down. So, Steve, you never know. It might be like old days. You and I will get together and catch some albacore together.
That'd be pretty cool, Mike. Pretty cool. And speaking of warm water, it's all yellowfin, even for the local boats down in San Diego. The albacore are over down there, but lots and lots of yellowfin. So, and lots of dorado. I mean, limits of Dorado. So if that doesn't indicate a warm water year, I don't know what does.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I don't believe Chad Woods from Sport Fishing Report is calling us tonight. So any information you have from the San Diego fleet. Now, I know our mutual friend Michael Doy just got back. His group got back from the Royal Star on a four-day trip. And even Jason Hammond, who you know from Trader Joe's here, just got back from a four-day trip. So a lot of the local guys are just getting back from multi-day trips in San Diego. And it sounds like they're doing a combination of fishing San Benitas Island for yellowtail, school-size yellowtail there. They're fishing the blue water, finding kelp patties with a mix of Dorado, yellowfin tuna. And it sounds like the albacore are about done. The water's so warm. And they're even spending some time at Guadalupe Island looking for the scratch bite and the larger yellowfin tuna as well as yellowtail. Have you heard any other news?
Well, yeah. They've caught three or four wahoo at Guadalupe as a result of that effort. So once again, you couldn't get much more of an indicator of warm water conditions.
Wow, I didn't know that. That they typically don't catch wahoo in water, you know, less than 80 degrees.
Even in a warm water year, maybe a dozen wahoo a year at Guadalupe would be the max in a warm water year, and most years none.
Okay.
So there you have it.
All right, so things are just starting to take place here now. There was a good shot albacore at the guide this last weekend and early in the week before the weather got bad. Some boats did well. A couple guys spent the night and came home with 50 fish. I don't know what you need 50 fish for, but the scores were there. I think some private boats had up to 30 fish. There was rumors of 40 fish for a day, but in general, the guys that went out there and got fishing while it was early in the morning because of that big moon, they were happy to come home with a dozen to 15 fish. And right out of Santa Cruz here, guys were doing the 30, 35-mile run and happily coming home with a few to 6 or 10 fish. So there's definitely some albacore showing up on the Central Coast.
Well, it's exciting, and with any kind of luck, it'll hold all the way through maybe to the end of October. That'd be nice.
All right, and since you're my mentor in Fishing Gazette, I'm going to put you on the spot again. Have you heard any rumors from Kevin Brock or any of the local guys in regards to the Feather River for salmon or...
I talked to Kevin Brock less than, well, let's see, it's 7:46. I talked to Kevin Brock less than an hour ago. The bite has been pretty good on the Feather all week. Today was not good. Today was definitely not good, but the Feather's been pretty good all week. Early, before the sun hits the water, you back bounce those silver and chartreuse quick fish, K-15s, because the flow's a little bit low. And then as soon as the sun hits the water, you want to go to that Pro-Cure row with a quickie puffball. And, you know, it's decent fishing, anything from 8-pound jacks on up to some 30-pounders.
Okay, and so they must be seeing those kind of summer to early fall run fish now while the spring run of fish are up into the low flow stretches?
Right.
Okay.
Right. So
all
it's,
right.
It's definitely happening. And the guy, the bass fishermen on Lake Oroville are definitely noticing that the water level's starting to go down, so the releases at Oroville Dam are, you know, going to be kept consistent for the salmon.
It's getting to be that time of the year. As fall comes around, a lot of times we start talking albacore, and those fall run of Chinook start going up into the Sacramento system and the tributaries. So
it's all good.
All right. Senior Tuna, thanks for calling. You have a great weekend, and we look forward to more reports and possibly fishing with you in the future.
All righty. Thanks, Mike.
All right. And what do you think, Alan, before we go into the break here? Let's take it from the top, so to speak. Now, last week, a good friend of mine, Jason Young, gave us a call from Westport, Washington, where the commercial boats are really catching a lot of albacore there, and they had reports as close as 50 miles. The reports I've heard this week from that fleet of commercial boats is a lot of them are fishing more like up to 500 miles offshore and doing real well at that. Now, as we head down the coast into Coos Bay, Oregon, I got reports this week from private boaters heading out of Coos Bay. They're getting more and more adventurous up there for albacore, and they had up to 15 fish a boat 25 miles out heading down to Northern California into Fort Bragg area. The deep water canyons outside of Fort Bragg, Viscano Canyon, one of them, about 25 miles or so west of Fort Bragg, kicked out up to 15 fish a boat. Again, this all took place last week and early in the week before the winds kicked up, but check Terrafin, check those water charts, and you got a chance at it. Whether it's Sunday or Monday early this week, there's a chance. Now, as we switch from that theme of albacore and head down the coast, what's going on, Alan, in regards to salmon when we think about Fort Bragg or Bodega Bay?
Well, the salmon are still biting, Mike. You know, it's getting towards the end of the season now, but Fort Bragg is producing our friends on the Telstar Charters up there in Fort Bragg. It's about fish per rod or slightly less than a fish per rod, and we're getting similar reports from Bodega Bay. The Duxbury Reef area outside of Marin County, it's about the same, maybe a little bit slower. So there may be another push of salmon that occurs along that northern coast. And as we said, there are some salmon here still. If you try for it, you might be able to get them. But I want to take a little diversion into the bay, Mike. Into the bay right now, San Pablo Bay seems to be pretty slow, but the best bite seems to be the striped bass, and that's from Oyster Point down to Burlingame. So that whole airport area, the tubes, you know, and by Candlestick Park and whatnot, the shore fishermen are actually the guys that are getting the stripers much more than the boaters, and they're getting them by casting from the shore, working the area right before sunset when the boaters are coming in. So fishing is really good in the bay for stripers if you hit that spot. Half Moon Bay, no salmon reports, but rockfish, of course, just like it is in Santa Cruz, is complete limit style fishing.
All right, fantastic. Alan, thank you very much. And we'll give an even better summary of the entire coast as far as the weather goes and where to go and what some hot picks are for this weekend right after the break. So we'll be right back.
serious sport fishermen rely on Raymarine's high-definition digital fish finders to increase their chances of seeing and catching more fish. And so should you. Johnson Hicks offers the new Raymarine A-Series fish finders with patented award-winning HD technology. The digital fish finders deliver the sharpest underwater imagery available anywhere, not to mention true hands-off operation and no-compromise performance. Choose from a 4, 5, or 6-inch display. The new C-Series also offers HD technology. Simply add Raymarine's black box sounder. Choose from a 4, 7, or 12-inch display. Find Raymarine online at www.raymarine.com or call Johnson Hicks at 831-475-3383 for more information. That's 831-475-3383.
Let me introduce Live Oak Cafe, a wonderful cafe that specializes in espresso drinks, coffee and tea, as well as their cold beverages and juices. Besides the delicious breakfast burritos and pastries, you have to try the lunch specials, like the lasagna or the enchilada casserole. People rave over it. At Live Oak Cafe, the cakes, cookies and pastries are scrumptious. The care that goes into the food at Live Oak Cafe is what keeps people coming back. In a traffic-free location on the ocean side of Highway 1, Live Oak Cafe is at the corner of Chanticleer and Soquel Avenue. Come by or call the Live Oak Cafe at 475-7757 for lunch orders or takeout. Call 475-7757. Stop by today and say hi to Kathleen and her friendly staff at the Live Oak Cafe.
The Stagnaro family has been serving the Santa Cruz area for over a century. There's something for everyone. Fishing trips, bay cruises, whale watching, and private parties for any occasion. Whichever your choice, today's fourth generation Stagnaros will surely make your trip fun and memorable. And be sure to dine at Gilda's Stagnaro Family Restaurant before or after your ocean adventure. The restaurant is located right across the street from our ticket office on the Santa Cruz Wharf. Call Stagnaro's at 427-2334 for a trip on the bay. Interphase Technologies, a local company with a worldwide market supplying boaters with forward-looking technology. Color Twin Scopes and iScan 180s have phased array technology and give you the opportunity to see a fish or bottom structure around your boat. Horizontal and vertical scanning technology gives you the opportunity to target the fish you want to catch before you've already passed over them. Interphase also provides boaters the finest chart plotters made with bright screens, fast processors, and easy-to-use functions. Interphase's forward-looking technology can be found at Johnson Hicks or online at www.interphase-tech.com. Look forward. Find Interphase.
Want to go saltwater fishing but don't have a boat? No problem. Drop on down to Capitola Boat and Bait on the Capitola Wharf or Santa Cruz Boat Rentals at the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf, where fishing is serious fun. You'll find great pier fishing with full-service tackle shops, sturdy ocean skiffs for rent, fresh and frozen baits, and up-to-the-minute fishing advice and inside tips. For more info, call Capitola Boat and Bait at 462-2208 or Santa Cruz Boat Rentals, 423-1739.
Boat and Motor Mart. Serving boaters since 1955, for over 51 years, the customer has always come first at Boat and Motor Mart, California's exclusive dealer for Osprey boats. Hosting a full array of Yamaha outboards. Quiet, smooth, fuel-efficient, and powerful. That's Yamaha outboards. Boat and Motor Mart is home to a new line. That's Parker Boats. Parker Boats have brought value and customer satisfaction to new levels. Check out Boat and Motor Mart's new location in South San Francisco at Oyster Point Marina. By land or sea, it's easy to find. 671 Marina Boulevard or call 650-246-1460. That's Boat and Motor Mart, 650-246-1460. Or online at www.boatandmotormart.com.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go fishing. You're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing show. And if you're not going to go fishing, let's at least talk about it. Great show tonight. A lot of great information here. Hope you enjoyed it. Quick recap. As far as the weather goes, yes, the high pressure system is building, which means northwest winds along the coast and outer bay waters, 15 to 25 knots. However, Sunday, Monday, a little low pressure is going to sweep back in and bring the southerly flow 5 to 15 knots. So that's looking like that buttery weather offshore for you albacore fishermen. Out of Santa Cruz, some great spots. Really what I was noticing was 36-45, 122-45 was a nice push of water. You're looking for those kind of north, northeasterly facing fingers and look for the 1,000-fathom curves and keep your eyes out. There's been a few inshore fish in that greenish-blue water. And some of the Half Moon Bay guys were shooting out there to the guide seamount a little further offshore and finding good scores there. And like Jerry Brooks mentioned, there's a good push of warm water coming up towards the Dogbone above the Sur Canyon. Now, coastal fishing, what do you think, Alan? A lot of rock fishing is the theme. I mean, if you want salmon, look for maybe a few fish starting to stage at Duxbury Reef on the tide changes or if there's bait there. However, Bodega Bay still remains a consistent spot.
Yeah, that's right. And locally, the tip of the Soquel Hole, we believe that there's a resident population there, and you can get them. Also, there were some rumors of fish at Moss Landing last week, but Soquel Hole is a sure thing. Besides that, Mike, rock fishing just can't quit. You know, the schoolies are biting, mm-hmm. and with this swell dropping, the bottom-hugging fish are going on the bite as well, so some of the big reds are going to be coming up over the weekend.
And I think, like you mentioned during the break, don't underestimate the chance of the halibut. I think a lot of people wait for someone else to catch one, then they go try the same spot. Get out there. The swell's dropped. The water's cleared up. There's a lot of bait around. There's still chances of the halibut. And a lot of times when the water warms up, those fish up there off Davenport or 4 Mile up the coast, along the beaches with the calm weather, they'll show up there. And some make it through the gauntlet, and they show up on the beaches right out of Santa Cruz here for halibut, Moss Landing, the pipeline. But the theme would be inshore waters, I would say, Friday, Saturday, rockfish or halibut. Try to shoot out to the salmon grounds if you want. And then Sunday, Monday, look for that window of opportunity of calm weather and go for the exotics. Look for some albacore tuna offshore. And the main thing, though, I think, Alan, is to be fun and have safe. Go out there, have a good time, catch a big one, feel proud because you're a sportsman.
Now, Mike, and, if I wanted to jump on a boat for albacore this weekend, I believe Stagnaro's is...
I'm going to interrupt you just because I'm so excited. The Princess is going out. Thank you, Alan. The Princess is heading out, and this is a Sunday night at 11 p.m. departure. We're talking about a 22-hour trip. The real deal on the Princess, which used to run out of Morro Bay, has that boat caught albacore? Oh, yes, she has. So if you want to go out, 22-hour trip, depart Sunday night at 11 out of Stagnaro's. Give them a call, 427-2334. The Princess, there's a galley on board, bunks, bait tank. It's the real deal, and there's albacore out there. So honestly, if you've been talking about it, it's time to go out. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend.
Local news and the best in talk radio. AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340, KLMY, Watsonville.
It is a mistake to believe there is no threat to the United States of America.
President Bush in Green Bay, Wisconsin, on the plot to blow up jetliners bound for the U.S. Fox News confirming an undercover British agent infiltrated a British terror group, leading to raids that so far have netted 24 Muslim terrorists.
We've initiated a complete and rapid response in the city of Los Angeles. These events provide a clear and ominous reminder of the fight against terrorism and demands our constant vigilism.
That's Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. National Guard troops deployed at airports across the country. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani on Fox's Hannity and Combs tonight.
You cannot negotiate with us. These are not people. They have demonstrated to us that they despise us, they hate us, and they want to kill us. And they want to kill us because we're a modern society. They want to kill us because we We give women rights. They want to kill us because we have freedom of religion. They want to kill us because we have elected officials.
Democrat Jane Harman, a member of the Homeland Security Committee, applauding American and British law enforcement for keeping the nation safe. Those missing Egyptian exchange students are not connected with the alleged terror plot. Six already in custody, failing to show up at Montana State University. The FBI still searching for five. And now to the Middle East, where Fox News confirming 14 loud explosions in central Beirut. Israeli jets attacking the city's southern suburbs, known to be a stronghold for Hezbollah militants. And along the border, Israeli forces on the move today, taking a strategic town. Lebanon's interior minister says Israel captured 350 soldiers. Russia's attempt at a ceasefire, a